This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Between 1976 and 1983, close to 30,000 Argentinians were kidnapped, tortured, and murdered by their own government. The military dictatorship rounded up everyone with any possible connections to the left, including activists, trade unionists, journalists, Marxists, and Peronists. They were called the disappeared. 500 of the disappeared were pregnant women or new mothers. A group of marchers outside of Argentina's presidential palace are called the grandmothers of the disappeared. These are women who want to find the babies who were taken from their mothers. Ana Maria Cartayaga is a death camp survivor and here speaks through a translator.
The Abuelas de Plaza de Mayo are the result and the answer to one of the most sinister methodologies implemented by the military dictatorship in Argentina, which was the kidnapping of babies. Besides the forced disappearance of people, that is the massive kidnapping of demonstrators. They would take possession of their children, in some cases of babies that had already been born, and in other cases of mothers who were pregnant, who had their babies in captivity. And these babies remained in the hands of military personnel or with families linked to the military forces.
Ana is one of the people who appear in a new documentary film. Las Abuelas de Plaza de Mayo and The Search for Identity was produced by a professor of broadcast journalism at UNC Chapel Hill and his two daughters. Charlie Tuggle's been traveling to Argentina to teach every summer for many years. And in 2009, he brought his two daughters, Bryn and Bethany, and their film premieres tonight at the Journalism School at UNC. Charlie Tuggle, Bryn Tuggle Miller, and Bethany Tuggle Parker join me in the studio now. Welcome to all of you. Good to have you here.
Thank you.
Charlie, tell us about this film. Where'd the idea come from?
Well, in 2002, I had a couple of Moorhead scholars, and those are the brightest kids we have on campus at Carolina. And they double majored in broadcast journalism and Spanish. They learned about the Dirty War in their Spanish class. And they said, you know, for our travel experience as part of Moorhead, we want to go document what's happening with the Dirty War. I said, okay, fine, go down and do some stories for the student newscast, bring those back. They stumbled upon this group, Las Abuelas, and they did a couple of stories, and they won a national reporting award for those stories. And so as I was going down each year, I became more and more interested in Abuelas and then took the girls with me, my daughters with me in 2009. Bethany was going to do a couple of stories for the student newscast, did. She won a national reporting award, so I knew that this was a story that resonated with people. And we sort of decided collectively while we were there, it's like, why don't we do a family film? Why don't we can barely scratch the surface with these two-minute news reports. Why don't we really try to tell the depth of this story? So we decided in the summer of 2009 that we would do a family film. And I wish somebody had shot me when I had that thought, because we did not know what we were getting into.
It's a big story. Well, this is the kind of story that you can imagine being drawn into, particularly for you, I would think, Bethany and Bryn. Tell me how much you knew about the Dirty War and about the disappeared before these trips began.
We didn't. We didn't know anything. When we went down there for the summer, I was a part of the student newscast, so having a father as a professor, that meant I had to do work on my vacation. And we learned a lot from those two stories, but we have learned so much about this story and just really believe that it's something that everyone should know about. It's a really important story, and we hope that a lot of people can learn just like we did.
Bryn, tell us about, as you were going through this, I mean, what were your feelings as you discovered more and more about what that government did to their own people?
Well, obviously, having lived in Argentina, that, you know, it meant a lot to us because we had immersed ourselves in the culture and loved the country, loved living there, loved the food, loved the language. So the story meant even more to us. But even coming back to the States and talking to our peers who went to, you know, liberal arts colleges and had what we would call a well-rounded education, had no idea about this. So I think that made us even more passionate to share and educate and tell people what had happened just 30 years ago. It wasn't even that long. And here it was this huge atrocity that not many people know about.
Charlie, we'll ask you to do that for us, well-educated, liberally educated people listening now. Give us a little more background on the Dirty War and the disappeared.
Well, Argentina went through a series of failed governments, some of them military, some of them civilian, and none of them could solve the country's problems. Political unrest, economic turmoil, et cetera. So finally, the government brings in lets the military take over. And the military in the past had sort of restored order and then turned things back over to the civilians. But in this case, the military had a clear agenda, and it was wipe out the left. We are fighting World War III. This is the global fight against communism. We are the forefront of that. And they thought of themselves as the saviors of the country and indeed of the world, saving the world from global communism. So it didn't matter that there was a lot of collateral damage. They wanted to get rid of the left. So if you, Frank, were a hard left armed militant, the fact that my name is in your Rolodex, I'm now a hard left armed militant. So they're going to come after me just because you know my name.
Right. And that's what the experts in your film all point out, is that once this thing took off, once the violence took off and this kind of supranational legal authority was in play, it was an animal all by itself and unstoppable.
One of them referred to or compared it to the tapeworm that started eating and couldn't stop.
So people are disappeared, thousands of people, 500 of whom are pregnant mothers or new mothers. And your story is about what happened to those children and the search for those children by their grandmothers. Tell us about Las Abuelas.
Yeah, well, we have some 30,000. And in fact, that number is an estimate. No one knows for sure. There are about 10,000 documented cases in the report Nunca Más. Some people estimate 30,000. One of the folks we talked to in the film, who was the former editor of the Buenos Aires Herald, Bob Cox, on his most recent visit had talks with a whole lot of people. He's now convinced it's more than 30,000. But at any rate, the estimate for the mothers is 500, the killed mothers. Well, the grandmothers and the mothers of May Plaza, there are two different groups. They know that their children are not coming back. They're dead. They were killed, murdered, tortured beforehand. But the grandchildren are still alive. So where are they? How can I find them? And they have dedicated their lives, 30, 35 years of their lives, to find that missing grandson or that missing granddaughter.
And how were they able to find them? And I'm sure there are many different ways, but tell us a little bit about their search and how effective it is.
A lot of it is just kind of word of mouth with Las Abuelas. They would have marches in the square asking, where are my children? Help me. Where are my grandchildren? And a lot of it, they would put up signs and just say, do you have a feeling that something's not right about the situation you're in? Because the grandchildren were growing up in families of people who were for the military. They were given to supporters of the military. And so in a lot of the cases, the grandchildren would feel like something was just missing. Something wasn't right. These aren't my real parents. And they would go to Las Abuelas to get a DNA test and find out that, sure enough, that wasn't their real family.
This is one of the most extraordinary things I think I saw in the film was at least one young man who you documented who said he had all this anxiety, depression, problems. He didn't feel right. He didn't feel like he was a member of that family. It shocked me. Were you surprised at that someone would have us? He was told from birth that this is his family. Why would he think otherwise?
Right. I just think that is one of the coolest parts about this story is, you know, by word of mouth and really not a lot of resources in the beginning, these grandmothers were so passionate about finding these babies, young adults now. And, you know, their stories are the thing that I think we're most passionate about, because that's human interest right there. Just, you know, knowing what would it be like to be 30 years old and find out that your whole life has been a lie.
And to be discovered by your grandmother, one of them, Estela Carlotto. Let's listen.
Para la abuela es un momento de una emoción tremenda.
For the grandma, it's a moment with tremendous excitement because she's found what she's been looking for so many years. And furthermore, they look like her son or daughter. The response of the child is of pain, shock, when they find out that their father and mother were not their real parents, that they had other parents, that they had another grandmother looking for them.
Charlie Tuggle, how many of these grandmothers have been successful? How many of these children have been found?
About a month or so ago, the abuelas presented to the public found grandchild number 105. So every year they find 4, 5, 6, and they continue the fight. And one of the key things that we wanted to know is these grandmothers are old, some of them 85, 90 years old. And Estella, who we just heard from, said, you know, when the time comes that there's not a single grandmother left, the grandchildren will continue the fight.
And some of them actually knew. They weren't quite so young. They understood that they were being taken away. And among them is a woman named
Tatiana Svilgoy.
Svilgoy. Let's listen to her.
Everything started with Oscar's, my father, disappearance in 1976. A few months later, my mother disappeared too. My sister and I witnessed her kidnapping in a park. Military men, dressed in green, came toward us while my mother hugged us, like she was saying goodbye. I didn't understand why. She tried to protect us by walking away from us while they chased her, so they wouldn't see us. Because if not, we would all have been kidnapped. From there on, our lives changed. We were supposedly abandoned in the streets. That's why the court intervened and sent us to an orphanage, because we didn't have a family. I say this ironically because we did have a family, but they were kidnapped.
And Tatiana's story is interesting, Charlie, because she goes on to become a counselor. Tell us about her story.
Yeah, she's actually one of the very few that it was a legal adoption. Her parents, the Svilgoys, adopted her, found out they were planning to adopt her sister, and then found out that they were sisters, and they said, well, we're taking both of them. We're not splitting these girls up. But that was a legal adoption. As soon as they had some inkling that there might be an issue, they went to the abuelas, and Tatiana grew up with two families, and it was fine. So every grandchild has a different story and a different reaction.
And she helps the grandchildren who have been in this situation cope with some of the psychological stress.
Yeah, she studied psychology. She's a trained psychologist. She is the abuela's psychologist. So one of the ones she dealt with recently, number 101, told her, it took me 10 years to get up the courage to even come to abuelas because I knew how things would change for me. And, of course, she's been working with him and many of the others.
That really points to some of the complexity of this whole story, how difficult it is for people to talk about it. Even well-meaning families, not all of them were, you know, military families that adopted these children, who are now really burdened by the guilt, and children who find it difficult to trust.
Yeah, there are a lot of cases that where some of the grandchildren just completely cut off any communication with the families that they grew up with because it's just so devastating. And in many of the cases, the adoptive families did know what was going on and they were involved in the military and knew what they were doing, exactly what they were doing. But there are those few cases where the parents did not know.
Bryn, was it difficult getting, even doing the interviews, I would think, in a story like this where people just don't want to talk? How difficult was it to get people to talk for your documentary?
Absolutely. You know, first of all, the language barrier, that was something to consider even going down there. But it is just now beginning to be talked about, even in Argentina. And, you know, it's sort of a hush-hush thing where there are two sides still. There are supporters of the military even still today and don't believe the numbers that have been documented of these babies. They think the grandmothers are paying actors to, you know, go with the DNA test results. So it was definitely, you know, heart-wrenching to hear these stories or convince people to talk to us. But we were lucky enough to get to talk to five of the found grandchildren, and they all had different stories, but they all had in common that they were so passionate about educating people about what had happened, what had taken place, and, you know, just working now to find even more.
One of the other participants, or I should say subjects of your film, was a UNC alum, Cortina Cortez, who found out about her situation. I was pretty surprised.
and you're putting together pieces, and then it gets to the point where you just are wallowing in these atrocities and in the idea of torture. And, you know, you can only sit in that for so long before you have to take a step forward.
Tell us about Cortina's story, Charlie.
We came back from Argentina, and I was at a party at the dean's house, and one of my colleagues said, you guys just traveled to Argentina. I said, yeah, as a matter of fact, do you know about this young woman in the theater school who's about to do this one woman play about how the dirty war affected her family? Well, no, I didn't. So there's been so much serendipity, or we would say providence, mm-hmm. Involved in telling this story. So 3 days later, we're documenting the play that Corina did. As a sophomore at Carolina, she did a study abroad trip to Argentina. Her parents had never said word one about all the people in her family who had been affected. She gets there to the study abroad, opens up chapter 6 of the book. It's titled Lizazo, her mother's maiden name. And she finds out about uncles and aunts and cousins who were killed or exiled. And it's just, wow, boom, all these skeletons in my closet. I had no idea. And she finds out all this stuff. So it's not just the grandchildren or the grandmothers. It's, you know, a UNC student.
Right. And she decided to render it artistically. I wonder what else is going on there in terms of people trying now to come out and to express what's going on.
I'd say that there's definitely a movement now more than ever, you know, for educating people. So one of the former torture camps, the biggest, La Esma in Buenos Aires, has now turned into a museum. So there, you know, it is just now beginning. But through the work of Las Abuelas, it is becoming a topic that now young people are starting to discuss. They might not have been alive, but now they're asking questions. And we think that's really important.
What do you take away from this film?
Wow, that's a really good question. I think it has definitely been a passion project for us as a family. Like Dad said in the beginning, we did not know what we were getting ourselves into, but we fell in love with the story. And I think that we would all call ourselves storytellers, and that's really what we wanted to do. That's why we wanted to do this documentary, is to tell the story and educate people.
Does it change your idea of what it is to be a family when you work on this as a family and realize the complicated nature of the situation down there?
Yeah.
I really am your father.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting working on a project with your family, but it's been great. I mean, we've been a close family my whole life, so it's been just so great to be able to do this with my family, spend more time with them in this different sort of aspect, and to be able to have the same passion and to work together to share that passion.
And Charlie, politically, the takeaway from this, I mean, here was a nation under stress, fearful of some of the violence that was going on, decided that the suspension of civil liberties was the way to go, and violence, and this turned out very, very bad.
And that has changed my whole sense of, I've always had an interest in social justice, but not to the degree that it is now. When you see something like this that can happen, when Argentina was a pretty well-developed country. And then it just went to mayhem in weeks, basically. That kind of stuff can happen if we don't keep it from happening. Oh. So that's part of the takeaway, is that we all have to be involved in human rights.
I want to thank all of you for being on the program. Congratulations on the film. Charlie Tuggle, a professor of broadcast journalism at UNC Chapel Hill, co-produced the documentary Las Abuelas de Plaza de Mayo and The Search for Identity with his daughters Bryn Tuggle Miller and Bethany Tuggle Parker. The film has its world premiere tonight at the Journalism School at UNC. You can see it in Carroll, 111 at 7 p.m. Going to be a subsequent screening, actually many of them, all semester long. To find out more, you can go to searchforidentitydocumentary.com. Coming up after a short break, documentary film season here in North Carolina. We'll find out about competitive quilting with the filmmakers behind Stitched. Stay with us on The State of Things.